So, just to preview again, just some of the basics of preparing a sermon. A reminder that, yeah, sharing the Word of God, it is one of the greatest joys and greatest honors that God really has given to us. And because of that, we must be faithful in our preparation to this great task. Martin Luther, he once said that if I could today become king or emperor, I would not give up my office as preacher. So these are going to be just some of the highlights of things that I want you guys to remember and consider in your sermon preparation. And the first thing is to start with prayer. Okay. So everybody repeat, start with prayer.
Start with prayer.
Okay. And that's where we want to begin. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. And if there's one thing that people are anxious about, right, for students, if you're not used to preaching, right, you get anxious, right, during the preaching preparation process. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So remember that this is a holy and sacred task. And so don't let anxiety govern your sermon preparation, but to pray everything to God. And with thanksgiving for this holy task, present your requests to God. And a couple things to begin your prayers with. Pray for cleansing. Okay, pray that God would forgive us for all of our sins. Psalm 51:2 says, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. So we begin with prayers of humility, reminding ourselves that we are sinners in need of grace. That just as we are about to preach to people who are sinners in need of grace, we need to remember that we need the gospel first. We need this message in the Bible first. To internalize it that way. So ask God, forgive me, for I'm a sinner in need of your mercy and grace now. So pray for cleansing. Also pray for clarity. As you begin with prayer, pray for clarity. God, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalm 119 has so many beautiful prayers in light of the Word of God, how we interact with the Word of God. So pray for clarity to see and behold the beauty of God and the beauty and glory of His Word. So pray for God to receive all the glory. Pray for clarity of mind, of heart, to be able to see the truth of all that God is revealed through His Word. Amen? So that's an important place that we need to begin. Begin with prayer, end with prayer, cover this thing with prayer. Because more than being a preacher, you are first, whether your occupation is a preacher or not, you are first called to be a prayer. One who prays, especially as ministers, as people who will be seen as spiritual leaders, you need to learn to make prayer the place that you live. You live in prayer, the place where you dwell, the place where you commune with God, the place where you receive instruction from God. That make prayer your home. Make prayer your work. Make prayer the place where you study, where you interact with God, where you receive inspiration and instruction from God. Make that your dwelling place. And from the overflow of that place of prayer, that's where the ministry will extend from. Because people will experience the presence of God through your ministry when you first live in the presence of God. Amen? That is how we need to be living. So begin with prayer. Next step is to exegete faithfully. Okay, so everybody repeat, exegete faithfully.
Exegete faithfully.
Okay, so your exegesis. Okay, so learn to be faithful with that. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And so that is our aim, not just during your seminary years, but throughout your whole life. Learn to be a faithful student of the word so that you know how to faithfully, correctly handle the word of truth. And this is why I asked in the beginning, how many of you guys have a regular preaching ministry? Because I know it's so hard as a full-time student and as one learning how to preach. If you're preaching every week, the danger of that is you learn bad habits and bad shortcuts, right? Because you're pressed with time, right? And that's one of the things that you really need to guard yourself. I know it's hard, but you have to guard yourself against so that most people think, oh, after seminary, I'm going to have so much more time to prepare. No, so many new things will demand your time. And this is the season especially to try to develop good habits of, again, spending time in the Word, dissecting your Word, doing your homework, doing your exegesis, doing the original language studies, the word studies, the becoming familiar with which commentaries matches your study style better. This is the time period to try to develop that, okay? So that you could develop good habits that you could bring into your ministry after seminary, okay? So that's important to do. So to be faithful with the Word and to learn to say what the Bible is saying, not what you want to say. That's a danger of young preachers. You have something exciting you want to share with people and you look for a Bible passage that will match it. Right? The Bible is not supplementary material. And the Bible is not just your introduction. And I know you guys have heard a lot of sermons where the only time you've ever read the Bible passage that's going to be addressed is just in the beginning. And then they never refer to it anymore. Right? But I do not want you to turn into those types of preachers. Right? You want what the Bible has to say, what God has to say, to be the central thrust of what you want to declare. So because we need the conviction that the Bible has power to change lives for eternity. Amen? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God can penetrate into the human heart, influencing the mind, the motives, and all that is within. Because you've all heard sermons where it feels like the preacher is speaking directly to you, right? You've heard those sermons. And that is when the Word of God is convicting the conscience. That's the power that he's referring to in Hebrews 4:12, is that there is a way that when we are faithful with the Word of God can penetrate to places in the most powerful of ways. And when you honor the Word of God, God will honor you. Amen? And so that's what we want to see happen. I want God to honor you as you honor him through his word. And also 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So again, this God-breathed, the source is God. And if we truly believe this, we want to approach it fearfully and respectfully and reverently as we declare the word of God. And all scripture is useful for the equipping of the people. Not all scripture will be equally useful, but all scripture is useful. Okay, and that's something to keep in mind. So if we really believe this, if we really believe the word of God is powerful to change lives for eternity, then we will understand that my role is to faithfully study, faithfully exegete, and declare what God's word says. That's why we do the homework. And let me give you just a very brief review of a few steps of faithful study, okay? And that is to read the text, recognize movements, and then research thoroughly. Okay, just a few things to keep in mind. Read the text, become familiar, read it, reread it, right? Meditate on it day and night, as Joshua 1 tells us. Become familiar with it. Be blessed by it first. Okay, don't turn the Bible into a textbook. That's the danger of seminary studies, that you begin seeing the Bible as your textbook. No, it is living and active. It is God's love letter to you, and you need to keep your heart soft and humble before it. Okay, so be blessed by it first, right? And to recognize the movements. Remember the flow of thought, right? The movements of the text. What are the movements? What are the flow of thoughts? And as we talked about in the biblical preaching class, a few things to remember. When you're reading epistles, what are you looking for in terms of breaking of the passage? Think what? For epistles, letters. Think paragraphs. Remember that? Okay, so when you're reading epistles, think paragraphs in terms of the breaks of divisions. Right, because it's a letter, think paragraphs. If it's a narrative, what are you thinking? For narratives, for stories, what are you looking for in terms of how it's broken apart? change in scenery, right? So when there's a scene change, that tells you that's the break in the movement. Okay, so these are the types of movements that you're looking for, just as a reminder. Okay, so recognize the movements there, and also to research thoroughly. Again, become familiar with, because the commentaries that you're going to buy in the future, because they're so expensive, right? It's like a love-hate relationship, right? You love them, but you hate the cost, right, of getting them. Because it's such an investment, now is the time to read through different commentaries and see which writers you resonate with more, which series you want to invest money into. So this is the time to do it during your seminary years, to research thoroughly and build a good library. It is an investment for your future, okay? So that's a brief reminder of how to just to exegete and to research movements. And then the next thing in your outline, refine the central idea. So everybody repeats, refine the central idea. So after you do all your faithful study, recognize the movements, you want to refine it to your core main central idea. Ecclesiastes 12:11, in reference to the preacher or the great teacher that they're referring to, the words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Now, a goad is a cattle prod. It pushes people into action. So the central thrust of your message, you want to move them to an action. Okay, but also, when he says it's like firmly embedded nails, what that means is it's deeply driven, right? Driven deep so that people will remember it. So you need to make sure that your central idea will be memorable for them. It's like deeply, it will be deep within them and move them to action. So that's what this is referring to. So focus your message around a central idea. And again, the importance of it, Keith Wilhite in the book, The Big Idea of Biblical Preaching, he says the single sermon idea, proposition, or thesis is the best way to preach expository messages. And even people outside of the preaching and church world, they also agree that this is the best way to deliver messages. Aristotle, he once said this, the most effective way to structure a speech is to build it around a single significant thought. So even Aristotle understood the importance of that. Because the mind will naturally gravitate, or is looking for, unity, order, and progress. Right? So it's always looking for the connections there. And Haddon Robinson, he once said, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pews. And remember this quote, that it needs to be crystal clear in your mind what you want to say and the message you want to convey for the people to have any chance to understand it. Because if it's fuzzy for you, they're lost. It will always be a level down from your understanding. People's understanding will always be one level down, sometimes many levels down. So you need to be really clear for them to have a chance of understanding the main purpose of it. Again, we talked about this. Sharpshooter versus machine gun, remember? Young preachers, they like to be machine gun. Just throw everything. Hopefully somebody will be blessed by something, right? But you want to be a sharpshooter, that you understand the point that they want to remember and you drive it home. Okay, so that's the best way to preach. And then next part, M, make an outline and then develop. Okay, so you soak it in prayer, faithful exegesis, central idea through your exegesis, and then you make an outline. Okay, make an outline and then develop it based on the central idea and based on the movements of the main ideas of the text. Okay, make your outline the flow of the sermon. Then you want to decide deductive or inductive, but all the main points should point back to the central idea, okay, or build upon it. The outline should be based upon the key points of the text and flow as much as possible, and also the outline should be with application. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. So you want to help them respond in application to the word. So the three main areas of application that you want to think about, how can I impact them, is, again, the head, the heart, the hands. Right? Do they, is the passage, is the primary application, because there will be primary and secondary. Some will have one, some will have more than one. But is the primary purpose of this passage for them to learn a concept about God? Is it something for them to feel in their heart, emotions of towards God? Or is it about their hands to do for God? You know, like Genesis 1. Ultimately, it's multiple things leading us to worship, but Genesis 1 tells us that there is a creator. There is one God who made all things. So it's a primary application can be for us to know that there is one God, and he is the creator of all things. So that's about the head. As a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. The primary would be about a heart issue, to love, to long for God. So that's how the outline in your message should address it. And then to forgive, to care for orphans, for widows, it's more of a hand issue, of an action-oriented. So those are the primaries. So when you're thinking about your application and your main points, you need to keep it centered around how to move them into action faithfully. Okay? And then O, offer life examples and illustrations. So you saturate this with prayer. Right? Faithful exegesis. Find the central idea. Then you make your outline, right, based on application, and then you fill it in with life examples and illustrations. From your own life is best, from real life, from media, books, stories, illustrations, and balance it. Balance information and illustration. Balance tension and release. Okay. And then N, never finish without conviction. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So if this is a command that we need to always be zealous, always passionate for the Lord, and especially if we are representing God and his word, we need to make sure that I'm not finished with my sermon preparation until this message convicts my heart. That I need to share this truth with these people. Okay, so ask the Spirit to convict your heart first. And then seek these points of conviction in your sermon. Is it worth preaching? If so, why? How? How is it going to impact my heart, my life? So it must grip your heart first. Okay, so don't think that you're finished until you are convicted by it. So that's why we need to pray, God, open my eyes. Let me see the wonder of your word. Convict my heart. Change my heart. Impassion my heart. Infuse my heart with conviction, with passion, with zeal for you and your truth. Amen? And then finally, saturate with prayer. Again, we begin with prayer, we cover this with prayer, we end with prayer, we saturate with prayer. Psalm 19:14, let's read that together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Okay, especially as we represent the words of God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my God, right, my Redeemer. So pray that God will be honored. Pray that God will use you. Pray that lives will be changed. Pray for greater anointing over your life and over your words, and for Christ to receive all the glory. Amen? So this is how we need to, just as a reminder and review, to approach sermon preparation.